This episode is brought to you by FX's The Veil, starring Elizabeth Moss. FX's The Veil is an international spy thriller that follows two women as they play a deadly game of truth and lies on the road from Istanbul to Paris and London. One woman has a secret, and the other has a mission to reveal it before thousands of lives are lost. FX's The Veil premieres April 30th, only on Hulu.
Welcome to the RuPaul's Drag Race Recap Show for All-Star 6, Season 6, Episode 6, titled Rumerican Horror Story, Cover Girls. No, Coven Girls! My name's Joe Batanz, and I am joined, as always, by one frightening co-host. First, from the podcast pod is my co-pilot. Please say...
Hi, Manella. I just saw Manella, girl.
To Taylor... The Latte Boy. Hello, Taylor the Latte Boy. How are you?
I am back again.
Back again. We just had a very successful weekend at Pride 48, you know, a community of gay podcasters, and we did a live version of the show with other people, but now it's me and you doing the recorded official episode of the show.
Tonight, it's just about family.
Yeah, tonight, it's just family. Lori's the crazy drunk aunt that you can't... Did you have to have the Thanksgiving for everybody? And then you have to have the real family Thanksgiving because she ruined it, you know, by going anti-mask or whatever she did, you know? And so, and then Adam Salandra had better things to do. But, which is, it's really sad. I've seen his Instagram and...
I've enjoyed his Instagram. He's getting ready to get married. He's having a good time.
No, it's not a criticism. I have no friends.
it's more a commentary on you than it is on Adam. Okay.
It's like, oh, he has so many friends and he's attractive and they're all attractive. And I'm sitting here playing Zelda, you know, trying to find the 10th monument in Zora's shrine. And it's a mess. My life is really, you know, it's so funny because my boyfriend goes and he does things and works. And then he's like, what did you do today? And I'm like, I felt like I just came out of a mental institute today because, you know, he worked all day and then he did CrossFit and did this and did that. And I was like, I went to Hobby Lobby and bought products and I mailed a Magic Castle pass to somebody. And I ate leftovers for lunch.
And I took care of my kittens, but you know, they kind of take care of me too.
Yeah, that's what I felt like. I felt like I have a hammer on my back. Oh, I have a hammer.
Why do you have a hammer?
Because everything's a nail. No, because No, because
I've missed this.
Yeah, I been putting posters up and hanging shit and stuff like that. Like my bedroom, this is not my bedroom. This is an office. I can see in the camera. My office looks very neat, but if you were just to turn it just a few inches, utter chaos right here. As I'm hanging posters and this and that and tools and stuff, and. Hanging artwork, and it's so funny because I feel like I'm, you know, who's the gay guy that cracked the code in World War II and then they lobotomized him or whatever? Turing,
shit.
Alan Turing,
right?
You know, I feel like him when I hang a poster and it's in the middle and I use like fractions and math and calculators. I'm like, you know that meme of like the door with the equations. Over her head.
Uh-huh.
That's what I feel like when I hang a poster. And all I did was use a calculator and add fractions. But it makes me feel
right.
How are you doing? It's the start of a new week.
I am doing well with work. We are back to having small support groups. So that was fun today. I feel bad though because I'm co-facilitating with another person and I say to her, you know, well, you can take lead on this and I'll be second chair.
Yeah.
And then by the end of it, I have just completely taken get over. Because it's all guys that know me.
Yeah.
And so they all want to, and there's part of me that I feel like it's all older gay guys.
Mm-hmm.
So they're all looking at me. So I feel like it's almost like a boys club kind mm-hmm. of thing. Mm-hmm. And she's just kind of sitting there, even though she's the same age as all of these guys. Well, not the same age, but she's an older woman. So there's part of me that, and I feel like I keep apologizing for it. And then I'm sort of like, well, you keep doing it though. So what does that say about me? What does that say about her? What does that say about society, gender politics, all of that stuff?
Without getting into details, I want to pay you a compliment. Is a friend of ours was going through a tough time yesterday, and we had to counsel him. And I brought you in because of what you do. And that's exactly what you deal with. And so I was telling the story to another friend who doesn't know anybody involved.
Mm-hmm.
And I said that I brought you in. And he said, oh, well, what did Taylor say in that situation? And I said, you know what was really odd? Well, first of all, everyone should know I got this newfound respect for Taylor. Because at a certain point, this friend is, you know, emotionally breaking down. And I start tearing up. And and that relates to what happens. So then my friend said, what was Taylor like? And I said, you know, it was very interesting from that perspective, because our reaction, because this person was very emotional, and our reaction as humans, I think, is to mirror that, our initial not to be that emotional, but to at least to come back with compassion or something like that. And not that you weren't compassionate, but I said it was weird, and it was sort of awesome to see him in this, you know, like he switched into a clinician. And I said he was compassionate, but it was also still very dispassionate in a way that it was not, but I don't mean it in a bad way. I mean it in like a...
No, I don't take it as a bad way.
Okay. Yeah, almost the way a medical doctor. If you go in there and the medical doctor has to tell you that it's cancer, you don't want the doctor to break down in tears, you know?
Right.
So like, it was very like, okay, this is a problem. And it was almost from an objective standpoint. It was actually very amazing to watch. And but when you, I guess my question, when you were first starting out, was this something that you, did you tear up, or do you still tear up? Are you dead inside is my question to you.
No, I am basically a robot. Mm-hmm. I'm a robot who enjoys donuts. I don't know that I ever necessarily tear up. I definitely feel for clients. Mm-hmm. I get angry at clients sometimes, and I will definitely, like, short of, you know, snap out of it. Mm-hmm. I get very much of where, we call that, in the office, we call that somebody's getting tailored.
Okay.
only it's my real last name. And it's where there are times where I get so frustrated because I can see something that the client can't. And this is over often weeks and weeks of where I'm like, oh my God, just do XYZ. Like, mm-hmm. you know, you're not figuring it out fast enough for me, sort of thing.
Yeah.
But the funny thing is, 2 weeks ago at my therapist, I walked out and I called my husband and went, well, I just got tailored. So now I know what it feels like. Cause I got the.
Oh,
the
really?
Yeah. As far as like, I had a couple of experiences when I was working in hospice care, when my all time favorite patient died.
Mm-hmm.
I remember being very, you know, I would worked with this woman for like 2 years, mm-hmm. where she had this very, very slow decline. And I just really liked her. And I remember we were in the hospice care center with the family.
Yeah.
And it was myself and the chaplain mm-hmm. were sitting talking to her and talking to the family. And at one point I just said, thank you for the privilege of letting us take care of your mom. Mm-hmm. Cause it was all of our adult kids. And that was saying that out loud was like the lip and the eyes welled up. And then that was like, not that I was very like suck the tears back in. I'm like, no. And as soon as the chaplain and I got out into the hallway, I just lost it.
Yeah.
So.
Hmm.
I do sometimes have human emotion. It's rare.
Well, what's so funny?
Thank you for the compliment.
Well, in that same phone call later, and then I was talking about how because you were doing your live Pride 48 show when I was talking to this friend. You were on the air, and I had already found out that the recording I was doing of your end didn't work. And so I said, ugh, let me call you back in a few minutes. I got to call Taylor and tell him that the microphone didn't pick up. He goes, oh, how's he going to take that? I go, just as he was calm and dispassionate. Now yes. I have to be the calm one for Taylor as he, as he loses his mind.
I have literally held the hands of dying people over like 15 years. And it is something that I consider to be an honor and has completely changed me as a human being. And hopefully I helped to better the lives of these people at the end of life. You tell me that the battery in my mouse is low.
Yeah.
I will have a complete full on meltdown.
Isn't that weird? Isn't that weird? The different levels.
It comes out sideways. It comes out sideways. That's just the way it is.
It sure does. Trust me. I told my boyfriend today, official, no more fast food after today.
Oh, really?
Oh, it's coming out sideways. This week, the girls act their hearts out in a parody of American Horror Story. On the runway, the queens don their best goth couture. In the end, Kylie Sonique Love was named the winner of the challenge, while Kyriacy Davenport and Raja O'Hara were placed in the bottom two. Manila Luzon was this week's lip-sync assassin and went head-to-head with Kylie Sonique Love in a lip-sync battle for their legacies. In the end, Kylie won the lip-sync and named a Kyriacy Davenport as the next queen eliminated from the competition and the next entrant into the game within the game. Taylor the Latte Boy, give me two things I liked about the episode and one thing you did not.
I'd like to start with the thing I did not like.
Sure.
And that would be the goopery of this with everything from just the complete emotional manipulation of the girls during the scene to who was selected for the winner. Just so much of this it's become so apparent watching the show through the lenses that I now watch it through after doing this show with you, that they're sending out telegraphs as to what they want you to think. Mm-hmm. And it pisses me off. The things that I did like, and this, I could speak to this for the majority of the episodes so far. Mm-hmm. These have been some of the strongest lip syncs for your legacy that I think the show has ever seen.
Okay.
And while Kylie's wasn't one of the top ones, it was still a very strong lip sync performance. It was a lot of fun to watch. Mm-hmm. Something else that I liked was some of the looks were amazing. I remember completely not liking this Raja O'Hara. Mm-hmm. And some of her looks this season some of her looks this season have been completely amazing, and I really enjoy it.
So with me, with mine, they're very they circle. They're like a Venn diagram of things here. But what I would say is the first one is Pandora Box. And, like, what's funny is I'm not even a huge Pandora Box fan, but I felt that she really crushed it this episode. She was the strongest in the sketch. And I can't say whether someone should win or not, but I think she should have won. But to not even be in the top, to just be in the middle, to be safe, because her look was good and the performance was so good that I was like, she should have been at least gotten some critiques and been judged. And even if she placed high and didn't win, okay. But I thought, speaking of the goopery, I thought the goopery was strong with Pandora. And I'm not saying Pandora should win the whole competition. I'm just saying in this challenge, she was the strongest. Also, maybe it's because of my love of Dracula. Maybe. I don't know what it is. I think I also like the Haunted Mansion at Disneyland. Oh, I know I like it. But maybe because of that, I really liked the goth theme. Now, did everyone, and actually my least favorite goth theme looks are where they just wore, you know, black dental floss to cover their body, you know, but people who actually took it to another level or played into the theme, I really like the looks. I just really am a big fan of the looks. Now, the one thing I didn't like, and we can get into this later, and maybe I'm getting to dangerous territory, but I feel like Kylie shouldn't have won this challenge. And I feel like the show is dancing around this whole, because it's been problematic. It's had a problematic history with trans contestants. And so is now overcompensating. And so I believe it or not, I have this opinion that to have to have such a low bar and low expectations is just as offensive, if not more offensive, to trans people. And I'm not saying that Kylie doesn't deserve to be there, and I think she's doing a very good job. She's definitely delivering more than she ever did, but she didn't deserve to win this challenge. You could have had conversations about another challenge or not, but this one, I don't know. It seemed like it was, I don't know if handicapped is the right word, but like they were doing her a favor. And because you could have made a case that Ginger, Eureka, or Pandora should have won over Pandora Box.
There was very much a patronizing tone to it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. No, I would agree with you.
Yeah. All right, let's move on. After Scarlett's elimination, the queens congratulate Ginger on her win and examine the pulled lipsticks. After the count was finished, Jan and Scarlett were tied. This upsets Jan, who asks the other girls if she's too much. They tell her yes. Kylie thanks everyone for not placing a single vote for her, and Ginger reveals that she almost voted for Kylie. With that, Kylie announces a renewed fire to succeed. Now, Taylor, let me ask you a question. Why do you think it is, and this furthers the conversation we were just having, that Kylie got zero votes to go home? She got no votes, even though you could have made an argument. And Ginger literally said to her face, you were the weakest one. But she got zero votes. What are your thoughts on that?
I feel like there is part of it that they are playing the long game here, and that nobody necessarily wanted to be the one to vote out the trans girl.
Yeah.
I think that even if their arguments were justified, I think there are people that are going to say there's going to be name calling. There's going to be accusations. There's going to be where people are going to go through years of tweets looking for that one tweet that proves that, you know, what they think. But I also think that Jan and Scarlett were pretty bad compared to Kylie. And I think that, you know, when you look at those three performances,
mm-hmm.
Kylie, yes, soft-spoken, yes, kind of faded backward, but Kylie had that moment with Raja where she put her hand on her, that we're seeing the quotes everywhere of the don't let your hurt child make adult decisions or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that for some of them, maybe looking at the three of them, that was the reason why they decided to keep her. But I also think that there's a long game there of that, you know, they don't want to necessarily be the one that votes out the trans girl, which isn't a nice thing to say. I get that.
Let's explore it in a different way, in a larger sense. In that, mm-hmm. I think Kim Chi has talked about this at Roscoe's, where the queens are no longer competing within the game, but they're competing on a level where they're more really trying to win the fans afterwards. They're not trying to win the game, mm-hmm. they're trying to win the fans. And they saw what happened when Naomi eliminated Manila, coincidentally, the same lip sync assassin. Uh-huh. And they don't want that to happen to them because a lot, especially since they're starting to dig the bottom of the barrel. It's not like, you know, on season two, Alaska, Katya, and Detox, they have goodwill to spare, so to speak, from the fans.
Right.
Right? Because they were already very successful in these seasons, where these queens were on the verge, if not already forgotten, of being forgotten. And so their biggest fear is to be hated by the fans. They all want that redemption arc.
You knew immediately in like All Stars 2 and All Stars 3 who these queens were. You didn't have to be reminded who some of them were. Whereas it feels like with All Stars 6, you know, as much as we make the jokes about Serena Chacha, that is something where you kind of had to be like, oh yeah, she was on a season sort of thing. Whereas that didn't happen with when you had, you know, people like Katya, Trixie, Kennedy.
Yeah.
You know, on all of those other All Star seasons before.
Yeah. No, it's. And so because of that, they're much more concerned about their life, the social media presence post-show. And that's, in a way, kind of poisoning them. And that's what happens with Jan. And speaking of, go ahead.
What do you think would have happened in that situation if there had been an actual tie? Do you think they would have both gone home? Do you think, like, I mean, have they even, this is the first time that we've seen this, where there's a tie.
So I think, I mean, this is where we get into the goopery. I think it could never happen because I feel they choose the winner of, especially in this one where it's so close, they choose the winner based on who they want to go home. Like, we were just talking about All Stars 2 in the reunion on a live show. And Alaska says on that All Stars 2 reunion that she had actually pulled Fifi's lipstick when she went against Rock, or whatever. When she, was it, did she go against Roxy in that first one?
I think so, yeah.
And so,
yes, it was.
Yeah. So, that she actually pulled Fifi's lipstick. And I'm like, well, that's, I mean, Roxy deserved the win. That was a very strong lip sync, but Roxy just made it easier for the producers. They don't want Fifi to go home so soon. They knew Fifi was going to be, you know, a wealth of drama for the show.
Uh-huh.
And, it's the same thing here. If they have a tie, well then, cause you could have, in this lip sync, if they would have chosen Manila, it wouldn't have been crazy. It was very close to lip sync, right?
Not Manila.
Oh, I'm sorry, Kylie.
Who went against... Yeah.
Kylie. If they would have chosen Kylie, no. It would have been crazy.
No, it was the tie for Ginger's. Who did Ginger go up against last week?
Oh, you're right. You're right.
Against Mayhem. So if Mayhem had won, it would have been the tie. It would have been where so... Oh, that, yeah, there was no way they were going to let Mayhem win because of the fact that
but
there was
a tie. Mayhem would have won, it wouldn't have been the craziest thing in the world. She gave a very strong lip sync performance as well.
Right, right.
And I think they just couldn't have that. Now, what would happen if there's a Valentina situation where the person just shits the bed and now they have to do another tie? Mm-hmm. I think the girls were right. I think they do a lip sync for your life.
Yeah.
You know? I think they do a lip sync for your life. I mean, or they go on Track Record?
I don't know. Maybe they include they it's a combination of the tie plus whoever the tiebreaker is the person who pulls then Ginger get then it would have been Ginger's lipstick would have been the tiebreaker.
Well, the reason you do the lip sync for your life if you do it.
Mhm.
Ultimately, RuPaul can just say, I'm the tiebreaker, and I choose this person. Sashay away.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
So let's talk about Jan. So they're there, and she's tied, and she flips the fuck out. And I'm like, and it's a constant thing this season where they want it to be that they get, like, so next week, you know, they're going to be very happy because everyone voted for Akira to go home except for Akira.
Right.
So, but if like you get another vote, it's like, oh my God, who? I'm like, yeah, people are going to vote for you. Like,
yeah.
And they flip the fuck out. They flip out.
Yeah. You got lucky this week because you basically got like the character of Jan for your character. But next time there's something, you're going to act the same way and then people are going to vote for you and you're going to act crazy.
There's that Instagram guy. I don't know if this quote originates with him. That blacksmith. I follow him on Instagram. He puts the balloon art and does quotes.
Yeah.
And he has one where it says, like, to the effect of, don't stress if someone doesn't like you. You don't like everybody. Or don't worry if everybody doesn't like you. You don't even like everybody. And it's the same thing as, like, okay, see people vote for you. You voted for other people.
Right.
And you will eventually vote for them if you keep going farther enough. I don't know. It's a very weird psychology, and I think I blame social media is what I'm trying to say.
Excellent.
I'm becoming an old person.
Mm-hmm.
The next day, Ginger struggles to reach the mirror. Next, RuPaul entered the workroom to announce this week's Maxi Challenge. It's an acting challenge. This week, the girls will play tribute to iconic actresses in Rumerican Horror Story, Coven Girls. In the workroom, the contestants sit down to divvy up the roles. They are as follows.
I can tell you who everybody, the character you can? Played. I am almost positive.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm pulling up the notes, and so I will double check your shit.
Okay.
All right. Go ahead.
Ginger played Emma. Eureka played Kathy. I'm just going by the name of the actress that they played because that's kind of what they did.
Do you watch Akira this American Horror Story?
Yeah.
Oh,
I watched the first couple. I watched up until Freak Show.
Okay.
And then we just kind of got out of it. Akira played Gabby. Okay, well, I know who the characters with that Trinity and Rod were playing, but it was Sarah Paulson. So it was Sarah and I don't know if there was a second name.
Angela.
Oh, that's right, because she was playing the Angela Bassett character. Okay, yeah. That's right. Okay. But that was a character that Sarah Paulson played both heads when she was a two-headed
person.
Oh, she
did. Oh,
show.
I didn't know that. Okay.
Yeah. Jan played Leah. Mm-hmm. Pandora played Frances.
Yes.
Kylie played Jessica.
Do you have this in front of you?
No. I just remember because American Horror Story Coven was, I think, my favorite season of the seasons that I watched.
Is it a good season? Look, I don't like this Ryan Murphy. Look, and I'm not the only one. I've felt this way before. It's like he always has really good ideas,
they fall apart. And yes. That's pretty much every season of Coven.
Yeah,
and eventually it falls apart. Coven kind of falls apart towards the end, but then the end of it gets really good.
Maybe I'll watch this season. Do you have to have knowledge of the other seasons?
No. So no, I not could for this one. And Coven. Then a lot of the characters came back for American Horror Story Apocalypse, where it almost became like a crossover thing. Mm-hmm. But I didn't watch that.
So the
last couple of seasons, a lot of the characters, I think, sort of crossed over.
So were there a lot of inside jokes about American Horror Story that maybe I didn't pick up on because I don't watch the show?
There were a couple of them, yeah. Like the thing where Jessica Lange, well, she was always drinking. Mm-hmm. Her character was, and she was the supreme. She would do a thing of where she would control people by like spitting in her drink. Like it was almost this weird like voodoo thing. So that's part, I think that's part of the reason why she always had the glass with her.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, the famous thing with, Frances was when they set her on fire and she yells, they said, "Do you have any last words?" Cause she's always wearing very fashionable outfits. Mm-hmm. And she said, "Only one." And then she yells Balenciaga as they set her on fire.
Oh, and then that became cut.
Yes, on the show. So that's why she went Mariah Paris Balenciaga, because that was part of it. Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know any. See, I didn't watch this Coven, so I didn't know. Oh, that is so mm-hmm. interesting.
Yeah. So, and some of the characters, like the Kathy Bates character with the beard, that was actually on Freak Show. Mm-hmm. But they could have, but Kathy Bates was on Coven, but she played Marie Laveau, the old voodoo priestess, but the old witch from like the 1800s or whatever. Mm-hmm. That used to like torture people. And so I guess I recognized each of the characters that they were doing.
And do they really have Leah a competition? Michelle. Is Leah Michelle on the show?
No, Leah Michelle was in, if she was in a later American Horror Story, I don't know, but she was on Glee, obviously, and she kind of was playing the Glee character, but then she was also on Scream Queens, which was the Fox one, and she played, I think her name was something like Agnes or something like that, and she was a crazy person.
Do the witches really have a competition where they try and kill each other or something?
Yes, the witches have a competition. Well, the witches have a competition because Jessica Lange's character is dying.
Okay.
And as she is losing power, the power kind of moves to another person. So they're all fighting to see who is going to be the next supreme.
Oh, see, you've told me way more. I kind of want to watch that season.
Yeah, no, and there are very cool things about that season. There are very cool ideas, but then it does what they all do, whereas about the back third is very like, he completely doesn't know what he's talking about, and it just goes off the rails, but then they manage to kind of bring it back to the end. So it had a enjoyable ending. I remember that.
All right, well, Raja worries about her rocky past with acting challenges, while Kyria feels pretty confident. Next, Angela Bassett appears on the workroom television to offer the girls some acting tips. Taylor, any big thoughts on everything that happened in the workroom? By the way, I don't know whether to be impressed or embarrassed by you that you knew all that. But any big thoughts on what happened in the workroom?
This Angela Bassett.
Yes. Uh-huh.
One of my all-time favorite actresses.
Sure.
I love her. I think mm-hmm. she is a beautiful woman who never ages. Mm-hmm. And I thought that, you know, I thought it was, they all seemed genuinely excited that she was in there. And she seemed to be having fun talking with them or sharing stuff about her craft. Yeah. And how much of that was genuine and how much was that where they say, just say this. I don't know. Mm-hmm. But it was, I think it would have been even more amazing if they actually you know, Rue came in and said, well, we have somebody here to talk with you about acting, you know, in a American Horror Story, and Angela Bassett came in. Mm-hmm. But I know they can't do that because of COVID.
Oh, yeah. That was, yeah, that's a big problem with this stupid COVID. I have to be honest with you, and I know Angela Bassett, but I haven't seen her in years because I don't watch American Horror Stories, some of the projects she does. I didn't know who it was at first until they said, oh, it's Angela Bassett. Why didn't they put like some sort of title, or would that be insulting, do you think, to Angela Bassett to write Angela Bassett on the screen?
No, I think they did that with like Anne Hathaway and stuff, didn't they?
Oh, yeah. So why didn't they do it with her? They were just like, and everyone's freaking out. I'm like, I don't know who that is. Because look, Mama looks great, but she's been a little, speaking of another Ryan Murphy show, a nip, a tuck action.
Oh, I don't think so. Do you really think so?
Well, she doesn't look, well, I guess people age. I'm all, she doesn't look like Stella and how Stella got her groove back.
Well, that was 25 years ago.
I don't care. Anyway, I want to talk, speaking of, this is not speaking of it at all. This Jan, the day before, she's like, am I really that annoying? And they're like, yes. Right?
Which was a great moment.
Yeah, it was a great
moment. Because
they all look
moment.
At each other and they're like, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So she's like, oh, okay. The next day, they get the assignment. And maybe it's the way they edited it. She's singing and just, ugh. I was.
Oh, like, I got that as editing with the singing and the and Akira rolling her eyes, because Akira's character, Gabby, was sort of rolling her eyes in the skit. So I'm sure that is as they were rehearsing, they made that look like she was annoyed by Jan.
Yeah.
Not to say that she wouldn't have been annoyed by Jan, but I think that's what that was about.
Now, look. Poor Ginger. She never gets what she wants. Last episode, she wanted the fucking motherhood, the bit, and they don't give it to her. She's to do rock, paper, scissors, right? Then, she wants to play Jessica Lange, that she doesn't get it. Rock, paper, scissors. Okay? So I want to know why Ginger can't get her way. But the other thing is, I want to talk, because then I guess it must have been a thing the producers like, because do you think Trinity K. Bonet really wanted to play the Joan Crawford role?
Trinity is someone this season that there's times that I really, really like her. Mm-hmm. And then there's times that I'm sort of like, what is going on in your head?
Yeah.
And I feel like this was one of these where she, I don't know if that's because there was more lines or what, but that was definitely something like, I can't imagine her playing either of those characters, the Francis character or Joan Crawford.
Yeah.
That would have been a complete disaster.
It would have been a complete disaster. Now, to go back to your girlfriend, Angela Bassett.
Mm-hmm.
Conspiracy theory. I've heard this around. Do you think she was actually on live Zoom with the girls or some sort of camera? Or was it like a producer fed her the questions, she answered them, and then told the girls to ask these same questions? Because she never actually directly commented. There was nothing that was any kind of personal reaction. It could have easily been nipped and tucked, so to speak. I'm gonna keep using that. I'm going to use that nip tuck joke until it works. That's all I'm going to say.
I mean, it could have been either or. I know that earlier this season was when – wasn't that earlier this season when Anne Hathaway was on, or was that last season? They all blend together at this point.
It was last season.
It was last season.
Well, it was season 13.
But we also –
yeah.
Well, we also know that Anne Hathaway is a huge Drag Race fan. So she may have been more invested in talking to the girls and using some of the lingo and things that maybe Angela Bassett is just sort of, this was a paycheck. And so she's just going to do what she needs to do and get through it.
I think it's a promo thing. If she got paid, it was minimal.
Okay, but that's what I mean. It was a job. It wasn't like where they said, hey, do you want to go on RuPaul's Drag Race? Cause they're going to do it a Ryan Murphy thing. She was like, yeah, sure. Whereas I feel Anne Hathaway, when they said, do you want to go on RuPaul's Drag Race? She was like, yes, I absolutely want to do
it. Yes, exactly. Now I do love though, when they have a serious, like Angela Bassett, as you said, you love her, is an amazing actress. Agreed.
Oscar nominated
Angela Bassett. I like when they have to play fucking a two-headed, you know, a person or a bearded lady in a stupid sketch, and they're like, how do you research the role? And I'm like, this woman is an she's one of our nation's coveted treasures of acting, mm-hmm. right?
Yes.
How is she going to give you any advice? And she probably worked for months on Tina Turner. How is her
right.
So that you can make some shitty double entendre 100 times?
Right.
Do you think you're really doing acting here?
Yes. This is not inside the actor's studio.
Yeah.
This is just you just push through and you say the dumb jokes.
Yeah. All right. Any other thoughts on this segment, Tanner the Latte Boy?
No.
All right, so why don't we do this? Why don't we take a break? When we come back, we're going to jump into the rest of the episode and get out of here.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
All right, on the soundstage, Michelle Visage and Ross Matthews direct the girls in This American Horror Story send-up. The directors hate Raja's voice. Akira needs more attitude. Jan needs to give more energy. Check. Eureka needs to give less energy. Finally, Kylie Sonique Love struggles so much, that Michelle Visage has to find the energy within her to go up in front of the cameras and show. You know you're in trouble with Michelle Visage.
Thespian
Michelle Visage has to get up and show you how to act. Taylor Latte Boy, your thoughts on the filming of this main challenge?
It was horrible. Everything about this was just bad. Uh-huh. Everything is the manipulation of the where we're going to fuck with Akira and we're going to. Something happened. I don't remember because it's been a couple of days since we've seen it.
Yeah.
Where they tell Akira to like kind of bring the attitude mm-hmm. a little bit. And then they talk about the fact that she's monotone. Yeah. And then they commend somebody else because they're like, you're very monotone. That's really good. Where, I mean, they're giving like the exact opposite direction to various yeah. people for various things. And I don't care for it. And the fact that they knew Raja had an accent.
Yeah.
And when she came in, they were like, well, try to not do the accent. But everything about it was just not great.
Okay.
But it was probably one of the worst skits they've ever done.
Okay. Here's the thing. Raja was doing a dumb voice. Okay. And Michelle and Ross had a problem with that. Okay. Now, look, ultimately in the challenge, whatever we think, Ross and Michelle are the directors. Okay. Now, I may completely disagree with them, but they are the directors. And Raja should have just done what they asked. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
However, that said, I'm not sure Ross and Michelle don't understand this is not an actual episode of American Horror Story Coven, right? And that they're doing a shitty send up. That you would hear on the opening show for his Pride 48 live streaming weekend, right? A shitty double entendre, shitty double entendre related, horrible jokes. They clearly an old queen wrote this because there's a Valley of the Dolls reference, and I'm an old queen, so I recognized it, but, But I was like, oh my God, this is hard. So the voice matched what, in other words, the cartoonish voice, it's a cartoonish sketch.
Yeah.
When you saw it in the context of the sketch, it didn't seem out of place because it's not, it's a stupid sketch.
It's camp.
It's camp. You're right. It is camp. There was nothing wrong. But I think they needed to give, as we, I've said before, I think the girls are sort of pre-chosen how it's going to go down, you know? And they needed to justify why Raja was going to be in the bottom. Because that, and that's sort of the problem with the show. You have this Raja who really wasn't the worst thing ever. And you have the Kylie who really wasn't the best thing ever. But the show wants you to believe that both are true. And it's horrible. Okay. Now, what did you think when Michelle got up and did that acting scene?
It was embarrassing.
It was embarrassing.
It was really embarrassing because she wasn't good.
No, but she was good.
What Kylie was doing was actually sort of better than what Michelle did.
Those names she was saying, too. I knew, like I said, there was the Neely O'Hara, which is the Valley of the Dolls reference. Do you know who the other girls' names were?
She was saying like names like Steve and Tom Tony. And Neely. Like
Neely O'Hara is Neely O'Hara is from Valley of the Dolls. A scene when, what the fuck is that girl's name? Is it Patty Duke? I don't remember who it is. Right,
Patty Duke.
Yeah,
Patty and Duke was in Valley of the Dolls.
Yeah, and it's raining. And she goes Neely O'Hara, you know. But then I thought it was funny, but it was just very, very strange. I was embarrassed for her.
Well, and I don't understand the fear of if Michelle Visage has to get out of her chair, then you know you're in trouble. If she has to get that makes no sense. This is not like when RuPaul said in Shakespeare, you know, y'all are in trouble.
Yeah.
You know, I am not happy right now.
Yeah.
You know, it's not Michelle Visage's best friend race. Why are we all afraid of Michelle at this point?
In that horrible AJ and the Queen, the girl, the villain girl with the one eye, what was her name? The one from Wayne's World.
Tia Carrera.
You know, that role was clearly written for Michelle Visage. She couldn't even land a role written for her on that shitty, shitty AJ and the Queen. She couldn't even get that role. She's going to teach Kylie Sonique Love how to act. Do you have any other thoughts on this filming of Maxi Challenge filming?
No, it was clear the writing was on the wall who was going to be in the bottom.
Okay.
And who we thought was going to be in the top or a winner.
Exactly. Who they want us, at least, to think. All right, it's elimination day. The girls get ready for the runway. Kylie worries about her performance. Raja wishes her characterization was appreciated more. Trinity and Eureka talk about their showmance. Akira loves funeral homes. And finally, the queens discuss their experiences with the paranormal. Taylor Vaughte, boy, your thoughts on elimination day?
I liked the whole Trinity and Eureka thing.
Yeah.
It kind of came completely out of left field.
Yeah.
But it was enjoyable to kind of watch them be silly and have fun. And
yeah. But also, I got to say something. I was a little inspired by the fact that Eureka just owns her motherfucking size and is like, I am big and I am sexy. And it doesn't seem – sometimes when you see fat people say that, it seems they're trying to convince themselves.
Yeah.
You know? But this one, you could, if you're picking up on the meta messages, I think Eureka really believes it, and I think that makes her more attractive to people, I think.
Yeah. Eureka is somebody that we got to talk to years ago.
Yeah.
Where we got to interview her. And I know that she has been somebody who has had highs and lows within the social media and stuff. But I'm enjoying her a lot this season. I think that she's brought some really great looks, and she's been a lot of fun to watch.
It's funny that you say that. Something we've talked about on this show, but low key, and no one's making a big deal about it, which is good, is she is getting a redemption. Everyone's talking about the Raja O'Hara redemption, which is real, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But Eureka, because Eureka wasn't never seen as a villain, she was seen as annoying. She was Jan. She was Jan before Jan, right? So first of all, Jan is there too as a contrast, which makes her look better. It's like, you know, it's like when if she was a fatter girl on the show, it'd make her look thinner. You know, like Ginger probably like standing next to Eureka, you know. But so Jan is that for Eureka. But also She is getting the redemption. And I think there's a part of it is genuine. I don't even think she's trying for it. I think it's just Eureka feels actually referencing what we just talked about, much more comfortable in her own skin.
Mm-hmm.
And therefore, and I hope Jan gets there one day, but not on my TV screen. I don't want to see her again. And where you're like, oh, you know, I'll say it this way. I always found myself defending Eureka. There's no queen on Drag Race that I've interviewed more than Eureka O'Hara. And every mm-hmm. single time, she has been 100% professional, lovely, generous. She's a dream to work with. I can see why RuPaul and World of Wonder like working with her, because she is a pro who's very easy to work with. And
right.
I think that we're now the audience is starting to see that side. And I think it's fantastic.
Well, a kind of using an analogy that we used on the Pride 48 show talking about All Stars 2
yeah.
is I think part of this is growth.
Yes.
And part of this is where we talked about the fact that we saw Ginger, who was in All Stars 2, mm-hmm. and talking about the growth that we have seen in her since then, mm-hmm. and how she's definitely, I would consider her to be a front runner
yeah.
for this season, compared to where she even said on the All Stars 2 reunion, we just finished season 7 and Katya and her got called back mm-hmm. to do it. So there wasn't an opportunity to really kind of grow as a performer, grow as a human being, recognize what this actually means, this experience.
Mm-hmm.
Jan is the Ginger in this point, Jan, it hasn't had opportunity to come back a couple of years from now on mm-hmm. like an All Stars 8 or 9 and go, you know what? I was annoying back yes. then, but I have yes. grown as a performer. I yes. have grown as a human being, and that's why I deserve to be the next All-Star. Jan can't be there yet.
Yeah, 100%. Little side note. I do love the part where Kylie and Raja are commiserating about their performance, you know?
Uh-huh.
And Raja's like, yeah, they didn't really like me. And Kylie's like, you know what? Baby, you do you. Don't worry about what they think. Yeah. No, I don't care what they think. She's like, if you're in the bottom, it's okay. You know, you tried your best. And she's like, yeah, I know. I am totally happy with what I did. So just don't stress.
Breathe, baby.
Breathe. You are good. I'm in your corner.
I'm not stressed out.
Yeah, I know. That's what it felt like right there. You know, talking about what was going on in the Elimination Day, they started talking about witchcraft in the afterlife and that wasn't staged at all by producers on a cover girl thing. But do you have any thoughts on the afterlife, on witchcraft and whatnot?
I will say this, again, yeah. kind of bringing it back. I worked in hospice for 15 years.
Yeah.
So, and I had enough families that told me things that mm-hmm. the families didn't know each other and told mm-hmm. me things that I can't not believe that there is something beyond this plane of existence.
Well, yeah.
Whatever that is, we don't really know. And I do know that I have been in New Orleans to the voodoo shop that is right on Bourbon Street, Marie Laveau's. And I walked in and immediately went, nope, I got weird energy and mm-hmm. thought this is not where I want to be. And turned around and said, I'll be out on the street if anybody needs me. Because
people don't know
it was just.
There was a coming soon poster in there and it had Taylor's picture on it. Mine was
you too. Could buy yeah. a Tale of the Latte Boy voodoo doll.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, you know, I remember, I wish I should go do a crazy search for this guy. I remember it was a great article. I remember it was in the LA Times, I believe. And it was about, you probably know something about this because this is what you worked in, but the article was talking about the phenomena that it's very common for people who have terminal illnesses when they're in the loopy stage of it, that they start talking about how they have to go mm-hmm. on a trip. And they have to take a trip and they need to pack, they have to pack their bags or someone's mm-hmm. waiting for them. Did you ever experience this? I know my friend's dad died last year and she didn't know about this. And she was telling me like, oh, he's rambling. This is towards the end that he needs to go on a trip. And I was like, oh, did you experience that?
Yes, I did. I definitely did. I had lots of times where people would say, family members would say they just keep saying they're ready to go home,
mm-hmm.
but they are in their home. And I would have to do the, no, they're not in their home.
Yeah.
This isn't what they see as home. Or I would have times where people would we'd be sitting in the room and they would say, you know, dad's here. But the person sitting in the bed is like in their 80s. And we'd all say, your father's here. They would say, he's right there. And like pointing and as clear as day that they're like, yes, he's sitting right there. I can't, why won't somebody say hi to him kind of thing?
Oh my
God. Yeah. So, I mean, and that could be for some people might say that's just your brain, you know, hallucinating. Mm-hmm. But again, I saw enough people saying things like that or having similar conversations with people who had passed on to not think there isn't something.
Well, on a grander scale, and then we'll move on to the looks. On a grander scale, meaning I get the last word. On a grander scale, this is a weird phenomenon. This is not me making it up. This is a noted thing that happens. When there have been major disasters, when a lot of men, like for instance, after World War I and World War II, when a lot of men have died,
mm-hmm.
there's a weird thing where more men are born. It's usually around 50-50, but there's a more men are born for a period of time to come. Like there's something, a higher force that puts things back in balance.
Okay.
It's really, really strange. This is a phenomenon that's known. Like whenever there's something where like again, a major war, like World War II, World War I, for a number of years, the number of, cause I think it's usually there are slightly more women born than men. Like it's like 50.5, 49.5 or something, right?
Okay.
But for a time, it'll be like 51, 52 men, you know, and it for a couple of years. It's really strange. It's almost like the larger plan, so to speak. All right. Now it's time for the looks. Taylor Latte Boy, the way we're going to do it this season, the way we've been doing it this season, is we're going to go through the looks, and you're going to tell me just a simple, and you can give a few comments here and there. People who are tuning in for the season, is Taylor can go on and on about the looks.
I won't, because it's late. So yeah. No, I'm not going to go on about the looks.
All right. First up, we have Ginger O'Hara. Ginger O'Hara. It's my drag name. Ginger Minj, Tudor Boot, Tale of the Latte Boy.
I'm going to say this was a toot. This was a toot.
Yeah, I was just as kind of unsure, but I went towards boot, so that's the correct answer. Eureka O'Hara, Tudor Boot.
Oh, toot. Absolute toot. It was awesome. It was a great look using goth as the theme, but it was sexy goth. And on a big girl like that, I thought it was a bold, awesome choice, too.
All right, correct. Next, we have Trinity K. Bonet, toot or boot?
Boot. I did not like this look at all. I thought it looked cheap.
The correct answer is toot. Raja O'Hara, toot or boot?
Toot. She looks sexy as fuck.
The correct answer is boot. Akira C. Davenport, toot or boot?
Toot with reservation. It was fun, but I didn't get the cross at the top. Mm-hmm. The cross should have been like upside down. That was kind of my thought, but I could also see where that could create problems. I could see that being people taking umbrage with that.
The correct answer is boot. Jan, did you get it correct or wrong? You got toot or boot?
I said toot.
Oh, no.
I said toot with reservation Akira.
Okay. Jan, toot or boot?
There were parts of Jan that I liked. I'm going to say toot.
The correct answer is toot. Very good.
Excellent.
Kylie Sonique Love, toot or boot?
I'm going to get raked over the coals for this. I liked it. I thought it was fun, sexy demon. I like Kylie with the black hair and the red eyes, and I thought it was hot. So I'm going to say toot.
The correct answer is boot. I'm sorry. And then finally, Pandora Box, toot or boot?
She was serving Haunted Mansion realness there. I am going to say that was a toot.
Correct. The correct answer is toot. You got three correct, Taylor. Unfortunately, we usually have two hosts here instead of the winning competition, but I mean, you have three. I mean, the only thing is you have three.
No.
Yeah. Not very good. All right. let's talk about that maxi challenge, the final product. There's not really much to say. Most of it, it's a strange one where we actually saw like 90% of it while they filmed it.
But yeah.
It was so fucking long. Am I wrong?
It was ridiculously long. Where how long do you think that actually was? 6-7 minutes?
Yeah. That's, if I had to guess, I would say 6 or 7 minutes.
Right. And they are usually 3 to 4.
Yeah. It would have been actually not as bad if it was 3 to 4 minutes.
Yeah. It felt like they had too much that they wanted to jam in there, or jan in there.
Yeah.
And then the weird, like it definitely was an old queen. You talked about the Valley of the Dolls reference, but then out of nowhere, Joan Crawford shows up.
Yeah.
Because that's such a timely pop culture reference that all the twinks at Precinct are going to understand who that is.
Mm-hmm. Actually,
it's just dumb.
Precinct is more like a bear kind of, they would know what it is. I don't think I've ever seen a twink at Precinct. Maybe, I'm sure you have. I'm sure they have a twink night. But yeah, you know, it was horrible. I already said it was horrible. Individual performances, again, I'll say Pandora, Eureka, Ginger stood out as being great. I actually didn't think Raja and Trinity were bad and that they were pretty good. I will say Akira was pretty bad. Oh, we didn't even talk about this during the filming. I do love that Michelle was trying to find every way till Sunday to tell Akira to act more black, but didn't know how to say it. She was like, we need more attitude. And Akira's like, what do you mean? Okay, so like, all right. You're annoying. And she's like, Notice Michelle didn't get up. Yeah, Michelle didn't get up and do that one. I think she wanted, what was the name of the friend on Good Times?
Willoma?
She wanted Willoma. And Akira wasn't picking that up.
Right. Instead, she got Mrs. Garrett.
She got Mrs. Garrett. And Michelle was trying to find, how do I tell her to act more black? You know, but she didn't know how to do it. But apart from that, I thought everybody, you know, I said this before on the show, that's sort of been the surprising thing, is everybody is actually stronger than I anticipated they would be.
Yes. Yes.
Because even Kylie, who I didn't think was very good, wasn't God awful. She was just not as good compared to Pandora, Eureka, and Ginger. You know? Same thing with Akira. Jan was annoying. All right, back on the main stage, Kylie's named the winner of the challenge. Meanwhile, Raja and Akira were placed in the bottom two. Back in the workroom, the girls deliberate about who they will vote for. Kylie meets with each of the queens before the other contestants vote for who they would send home. Back on the main stage, Manila Luzon enters as this week's lip sync assassin. She takes her spot and gets ready to duke it out with Kylie Sonique Love in a lip sync battle for their legacies. The song Dirty by Christina Aguilera. In the end, Kylie Sonique Love is named the winner of the lip sync. Now on the spot, she pulls out the lipstick and reads the name. It's Akira C. Davenport, who is the sixth girl to leave the competition and enter the game within the game. Taylor Latte Boy, we're going to talk about Untucked. We're going to talk about that lip sync, but do you have any final thoughts on the episode?
I think that it was not my favorite episode of the season. I think they've had some stronger episodes and some stronger things to kind of pull me in. Mm-hmm. And I was just distracted by the goopery. So not I would give this episode of the season, I would grade so far, this would get a solid C.
Okay.
I was whelmed with this episode.
Yeah, you know, going to the Untucked, it was Akira versus Raja. First of all, I didn't think Raja belonged there, but ultimately, at the end of the day, here's the deal. Even if I actually would have put Kylie in the bottom instead of winning, right? But even if Kylie would have been in the bottom, and take everything I said out before, Akira had to go home. She had been in the bottom 3 times. I think she knew it. She gave a fantastic speech in Untucked, but still, ultimately, this is your 3rd time in the bottom, you know?
And I feel like the speech was, if y'all vote for me, I get it.
Yeah.
She almost seemed ready to go.
Yeah.
Kind of thing.
And what about the lip sync?
I thought Kylie was fun to watch. I was a nervous wreck for underboob the entire time, figuring one or both of those nipples were just going to pop out of the bottom of that outfit.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I also thought that for somebody who, you know, we have talked on this show that MacArthur Park is or was my all-time favorite lip sync. I feel like that's been bumped down a little bit by some other ones. Mm-hmm. I thought Manila was lackluster as far as her lip sync goes compared to Kylie. Now I also know Kylie, I remember from her season, Kylie's known for the backflips and the splits and all the, you know, mm-hmm. the pole work, as it were.
Yeah.
So I was expecting that to be great, but I was expecting Manila to pull out something, and she really didn't.
But why would she? Going to the real All-Stars in sports, I don't even know this. A lot of people hate the All-Star game in baseball because these people have multi-million dollar contracts, and the last thing their team wants is for them to get injured at the stupid fucking All-Star game. So they sort of play like a lackluster game because they don't want to risk injury. So there are no stakes. And same thing with Manila. They should do the thing where the lip sync assassin gets the money if they win, you know?
that might be what they change it to. Yeah.
You know what? Manila will fucking try. Why is she going to try? Nothing's going to happen if she doesn't try.
Right. When you think about that argument, you know, I feel like with you've got Laganja a couple weeks ago literally throwing herself off of out of the ceiling.
Yeah.
And then you've got, you know, Brooklyn versus Raja, mm-hmm. you know, that felt like there was they felt like they were giving their all there. Whereas Manila just kind of seemed very like, okay, I'll kickball change through the song and then get out of here.
Well, we think we already saw all her tricks with the cross-eyed and stuff like that. you know, there's a thing that's been going around that there's a theory, and I actually subscribe to this theory, that the producers, if they're like, notice that, a different girl has won every single episode. Is this some sort of thing that they don't want it to be like last year where it was so clearly Shea Coulee was the winner? So now we're going to have a different girl wins every single time.
Mm-hmm. I could see that.
Yeah.
I could see that. Cause even though there are people who, as we talked about tonight, did better and have done better in the past, they're not necessarily always winning.
Yeah.
The problem with that, though, is eventually they're going to run out of girls. Like next week, you know, as they kind of said in the preview, the only two that haven't won anything yet are Eureka and Pandora, which pretty much telegraphs that either one of the two of them is going to win or both of them are going to be in the bottom.
Yeah.
And then that means that there really isn't anybody left, I would say, who if one of them ends up being one of the last two that goes home, then everybody, there is one winner per thing. Which we still haven't gotten to what this game within a game is yet.
Oh, yeah. I don't know what it is either. Now I'm starting to wonder what it is. Because at first I'm thinking it was going to be like a Last Chance Kitchen or second. What was that name of the thing?
Last Chance Kitchen. I was kind of thinking I wouldn't be surprised.
Mm-hmm.
It's funny you mentioned that because I thought of the same thing. I'm like, what if it becomes, especially because we just saw this in with the last season of where they have a lip sync off for all of the girls who are still. So it goes from Serena versus, who was the second one that went home?
Jiggly.
So Serena versus Jiggly. And whoever wins that one goes up against the next one, goes up against the next one, goes up against the next one. And that could be one episode just by itself. And could, you know, like where you don't see all of the girls who are still in the game for one episode. They almost like remove them for 1 week.
Here's what they should do. They should bring back the Santina Rice and this Merle Ginsburg. And they're the judges. And the girls do basically a shadow runway. Because they brought the looks anyway.
Yeah.
You know, and they show off the looks. And Santino and Merle count. And then at the end, they consult with the judge and say who should come back to the competition based on these looks. All right. Any other final thoughts on the episode, Taylor?
No. No, I'm glad I got to do this with you.
Oh, I'm glad I got to do it with you too. Well, that's going to do it for this week's episode of RuPaul's Drag Race Recap. Be sure to join us next weekend every week as we continue to discuss, dissect, and deconstruct each brand new episode of RuPaul's Drag Race. All-Star Season 6, very special thanks to Tato the Latte Boy from Pod is My Co-Pilot, a show that you can get anywhere that you get your podcasts. So for Tato the Latte, I was going to say something mean, but I was like, man, you were nice. So for Tato the Latte Boy, and myself.
Sashay away. Until next week.
Thank you for listening to RuPaul's Drag Race Recap. Have something to say? Email us at dragracerecap@afterthought.media. You can also leave us a voicemail at speakpipe.com/afterthoughtmedia. For more Drag Race and LGBTQ content, support us on Patreon at patreon.com/afterthoughtmedia. Lori has another podcast. It's called Bloody Podcast, and you can find it wherever you get your podcasts. You can follow Lori Roggenkamp on Instagram at Lori, you liar. You can follow Adam Salandra on Instagram at Adam Salandra. Follow Joe Batance on Instagram at Joe Batance. This episode was produced by Luke Stamen. Very special thanks to these expensive tier Patreon supporters: Emma, Declan Prosser, E. Smith, Ricardo Herrera, April Pacheco, Lionel Campbell, Poppy Woods, Lauren Eckert, Sarah Yu, Agnesa Shopinska, Travis Newland, Jimmy Kilbasa, Nutella, Jesse Harris, Coco San Pedro, Spiral Queen, Zach Nelson, Brad Coley, Drew Brooks, Tom Bombs, Lucy Carrasco, Astute Girl, Humble Pie, Troy Anderson, Nicholas Alexander Springham, Poppy Woods. Drag Race Recap is an Afterthought Media podcast.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.